Giving layoffs the old college try. ChatGPT, you're so dumb you think a MacBook is part of a Happy Meal. I'm okay, you're okay. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit MSPGeekCon.com for more information. Good morning and welcome to the January 24th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent. Excellent. How are you doing today? Another amazing week ahead of us. Awesome weeks behind us. It's 2023. It's the end of January. Talk to me.
I mean, it's beginning conference season. I got new toys that just got delivered. You'll have to go to the Discord to find out what I'm referring to. I'm not going to say what it is here. But really cool stuff. Speaking of cool stuff, I know, and I apologize to Kelly and your children, that I give you way too many ideas of stuff to buy. This time I'm going to talk about not us buying toys, but the U.S. military buying toys. So
they got the ideas from you, didn't they? They're pissed at you. You've killed our budget. I'm telling you right now, you have a problem.
You know, but it's I can't even argue with any of that. You're absolutely right. So apparently Congress says the Army petitioned to or made a request for $400 million in AR headsets. You remember the Microsoft HoloLens thing from a couple of years back? And we were always wondering like what the practical applications were going to be. Well, apparently the military said, we got this. And they've been using version 1.0 for a while. Version 1.0 has physically debilitating effects on the soldiers. I shouldn't be laughing at that, but the reason it's funny to me is because instead of them going and saying, okay, this doesn't work, they've done it with 100,000 hours of testing, over 1,000 soldiers testing this, and instead of saying, this doesn't work, we need this new version, Congress said, no, forget $400 million. We're going to give you $4 million. We're going to give you 10% of this. And you can just get version 1.2 of the existing product that they gave you nausea and seizures. Go team. I
mean. My brain hurts right now. Isn't there just like a firmware update or some kind of like, hey, download?
I mean, and it includes like stuff like counterbalance weights to make it more comfortable on your head. I know this is not the way it is. I know it's a bunch of nerds like us sitting in like, you know, room somewhere wearing this stuff. But like, I want to think this is a bunch of like swatted out, like tacked up dudes. Like, you know what I mean?
I love that picture you put in there. That opening picture, they're all like military. They're just like some guys that like, hey.
Oh, man, I can't wait. But, if more comes about this, we'll definitely follow it. But that's not the kind of news we follow here on Dispatch. We follow channel news. What do you say we get into it?
Dude, let's get into the news.
In my top story on the business section, tech layoffs explained by Stanford, written by Melissa DeWitt for Stanford News. It is estimated that tech companies have laid off more than 120,000 workers since last year. Jeffrey Pfeffer, a professor at the Graduate School of Business, attributes mass layoffs to a simple, even mindless phenomenon, copycat behavior. He stated that the tech industry layoffs are an instance of social contagion, in which companies imitate what others are doing and not evidence-based. He says the layoffs weaken companies, stress people out, double the odds of suicide, and increase the mortality rate by 15 to 20%. In this interview, he said the tech companies that have conducted mass layoffs have plenty of money and are still making money. They did it because other companies are doing it. Tony, I would say this is a little bit of, you know, Chicken Little syndrome, you know, taking a little bit of data and extrapolating it to exaggeration. However, Microsoft had 10,000 layoffs. and then invested $1 billion in OpenAI. You know, Amazon kills their Smile program. They had their 18,000 layoffs and they're reporting best ever profits. So maybe this Stanford professor is right on the money. What do you think?
I'm trying to find ways to imitate you because clearly that's what the article is about. But the only way I could think of imitating you is buying stuff on Amazon, which we've already discussed. You are literally the outbreak monkey and the government is not able to hit their passing their, we're entering a deficit stage because they're following your Amazon account. No, I'm really struggling with this, and let's equate this to the MSP world and to security. Is this a copycat? Is this the real, hey, we need to make these cutbacks? Is this somewhere in between where we're trying to find an opportunity to make the cutbacks in the guise of, we have a real issue here, we need to make cutbacks? So are these opportunistic corporations? And then the question is, if it's that particular one, which I believe it's going to be a mix, we have, you know, what we call in the security, in the little security internets of things, false positives. How do you identify a false positive? How do you identify who is actually doing this legitimately and who is struggling? Or there's something else that's way down the line. Are they forecasting in a way that our little brains can, they have the super chat GPT. They have version 5 where it's already forecasting things that we're not able to conceptualize, and they've put it together in a tangible, we need to lay off X amount of people and X amount of, or an X in parts of the industry, to compensate or prepare for this, forecast ahead. What are your thoughts, Ray? I mean, I'm throwing noodles at the wall here, seeing what sticks and.
No. You're absolutely right. Like, you know, if we go back and I want to apologize, Tony and most of the staff and people not on staff did bring up the Microsoft layoffs, and I would have bet money we had already covered it because we've covered so many damn layoffs. So if you're wondering why we didn't cover the 10,000 layoffs last week, that's why. It's my fault.
They bleed together. You don't remember. That's like me saying we talked about the ransomware, the hack.
They do, but like, you know, okay. So I got a notable coming up later about the Spotify layoffs, but they were struggling financially a little bit, but AWS, Microsoft, Google, these companies were not struggling at all, not even close. And then you have, and then I don't know if you've heard the stories, but some of the people that from the Google layoffs, they got it by email at 3 a.m. or they only know because their key card didn't work when they went to log in. And then for a lot of them, they were getting texts from their managers saying, check your email, but they were locked out of their email. So, you know, if this is a case of copycat syndrome, I'm really hoping that MSPs don't follow the how some of these enterprises did it. I like to think our MSPs do more than just follow what the enterprises do. They actually think about what's needed. They're a little, because they're typically more small business, they're a little more flexible. And if something needs to be cut, they do it earlier rather than waiting for a market downcline or, you know, a market decline or whatever it happens to be. Does that, you know, mirror what you see when you talk to SMBs?
Absolutely. I think SMBs for the most part are the very tactical. This is what we're doing to, you know, to take care of the here and now, and thinking, you know, 2 weeks ahead is some struggle with that. 2 months ahead, ooh, you know, quarterly, the QBRs, that's a real struggle. But you know, we're all doing the best that we can to foresee as much as we can. But I believe that the larger organizations may be doing a combination of looking way far, 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 far ahead, or just taking this as an opportunity to do the cutbacks and reapply that revenue towards AI or anything else that they see on Ray's Amazon account.
So let's get out of this super serious layoff business. And Tony, you got some Yo Mama jokes for us?
I do. Straight from futurism.net, it looks like CNET has been writing some articles in AI and publishing some pretty dumb errors. A prominent technology news site, CNET, has been quietly publishing articles generated by an unspecified AI engine. Hashtag ChatGPT. We don't know that for certain. And people are not happy. After the outcry, CNET editor-in-chief Connie Guglielmo acknowledged the AI-written articles in a post that celebrated CNET's reputation for, quote, being transparent. without acknowledging the criticism, Guglielmo wrote that the publication was changing the byline on its AI-generated articles from, quote, CNET Money staff to simply, quote, CNET Money, as well as making the disclosure more prominent. The errors surfaced range from an example of compound interest to describing certificates of deposits, better known as CDs. Ray, I've got a lot of things to unpack, and what I was going to do is write my entire opening from ChatGPT or an unknown AI source, and really just mess it up, just really tweak the words. But I just wanted to run this by you. Are we already in the mainstream? AI is going to write my stuff for me. Right now, we have the concept of human error, and we have people checking the human error, and then we have an editor-in-chief that checks the checkers after they check the people that were doing all the research. That's going straight to the AI, straight to publication. I am terrified by this. Talk to me.
So, cocaine. Like, what the hell happened with this, right? Cocaine was originally used for anesthesia. Okay. You have, what was the ED medication that was originally, Viagra was originally for heart, issues. To me, this screams, there's a new tool available. We're all getting acclimated to it. We're all in wonder of this tool. And some people are struggling to realize it's just a tool. It still can't operate without human intervention. You would never open your hood, throw a socket wrench inside and close the hood. That doesn't work, right? Well, just like cocaine was abused, just like they found a new use for Viagra, I think ChatGPT, we're in this period right now where we're still learning what it is, what it can do, where the rails are, where we have to step in. I'm a little disappointed, and I'll give you my disappointed face, CNET. I'm a little disappointed that, you know, you would take this and just throw it up on the page and say it's okay. You know, it's the editors not to catch this stuff, for the reviewers not to catch this stuff is for a major news organization is reprehensible in my opinion. I do think, like everything else, the overuse and potential abuse of the tool will even out eventually, as people learn its best and highest use cases. That's what I'm hoping anyway. What about you? You see any hope for this?
Absolutely none. Let's just call it as it is. I mean, 5 years ago, years ago, it wasn't even 5 years ago. We're talking four and some change. Japan's cybersecurity minister had never used a computer ever. I want you to process.
You had to tell me you didn't have a cracked version of Windows.
Never used a computer.
Come on.
Other than for porn. Was there dolphins? I mean, there? Probably dolphins. But he's never used a computer. He admitted that, and he was their cybersecurity minister. So if we can take something at that level, at a national level, now we're kind of domesticating this and saying, hey, here's a little ChatGPT or an unspecified AI engine that can create some pretty colorful, articulate, charismatic, and very, very specific knowledge snippets or complex articles. Why not use that at a domestic level? Of course we're going to do that, but not being clear about it, not validating that for the errors that could occur. I think that is just, you're not skating. You're not in a danger zone. You are just playing with fire. You're covered in gasoline and keeping your fingers crossed that nothing goes wrong. I just don't see that going in a good direction.
I mean, we just did this 3 years ago with self-driving cars, didn't we? Right. Another abused, overused, right? The Tesla that would go drive itself, park itself, but the laws weren't there yet. And, you know, how many people are abusing the Tesla? You have to keep your hand on the steering wheel. So they're putting counterweights and all this other stuff. We're acquiescing to the new technology, and we're just not there yet. We will be. I have faith for us.
Well, that's important part. You know, faith, staying calm, and being in control of your emotions. That means everything, right, Ray?
In my third top story in the business section, people with high emotional intelligence ask themselves these six questions to be calm, balanced, and centered. Written by Nick Hobson for Inc.com. People with high emotional intelligence recognize the importance of emotions and how to tap into them to bring about positive outcomes. To master the power of emotions and lead more peaceful and balanced lives, they ask themselves the following questions. Why are emotions important? Why do we have emotions? How do I map out different emotional experiences? What benefit do negative emotions have? How are my decisions influenced by my mood? And why do I feel this way now? Science has proven emotions are fundamental in human functioning. They drive our actions and can tell others what we're dealing with. They are powerful forces and can determine our outlook on life based on what is going on around us. Tony, I consider you a very high EQ person, but I have a hard time thinking that you've ever asked yourself these six things overtly, not that they've come across in the back of your mind, that you've sat down and thought about these things. Have you?
That's interesting. So I think that there's being aware, situationally aware, socially aware. I think that everyone at some point has that, you know, massive, you know, cathartic revelation, whatever it may be. I actually did a talk about this, one of those talks, talking about an exploding noema where your brain, that explosion in your brain where you reconcile what is versus what you thought was, kind of like, you know, where are my keys, and you're screaming, you got your keys in your hand, you realize that. There are those, massive revelations that go through your brain and you have a moment of clarity where you can understand them. You're actually explaining them, which goes full circle back to the truth of if you can't explain it, you don't understand it. I believe these questions are an amazing way for you to start the explanation process, which will help you understand it or yourself better. I don't believe that everyone natively has these questions ready to spit out, because these are pretty hardcore training wheels, to say the least. And if you can answer these questions, you're way ahead of me. I mean, that's amazing. I would love to say that I'm that balanced. I would love to say that, you know, caffeine isn't my driver and it's all cylinders, you know, pushing forward. And I have complete control over everything I'm doing. Exactly. But to be that centered and self-aware, that is magical. So maybe what this article is doing is talking about, this is an idealism. This is a direction. And maybe this is where you can ask yourself as a leader, as a manager, as an owner, and maybe ask your employees and your team to give everyone a kind of a center of where to aim for. It doesn't mean everyone's going to end up there.
You give them the tools, right? That's the whole point. You want to give them the starting point. You want to help them along the way. They have to get there for themselves regardless. I will say, you know, in my older age, the ripe old age of 43, you know, I will say I am more cognizant of my deficits than I've ever been previously in my life. So, I do find that I'm a very passionate person, Cuban Italian, can't help it. Or at least that's the excuse I use. I do find myself, that my emotions definitely have the ability to affect a decision. So I usually will, if I'm cognizant of it, I will remove myself from the decision-making process, either delay it for another time or find somebody else I trust in my stead. Not to say that it will have an effect, but knowing it could have an effect. Sometimes that's just enough. Know your limitations. You're way ahead of the game if you can know your own limitations. And I definitely don't have all the answers. I make up a lot of it as I go along. But, you know, these seem like good starting points, good stepping stones to get there. And who wouldn't want to be a little better, well-centered, right? What I would love to see is we have the six questions and the whys in the show notes below. Matt, if you could maybe throw these questions into our Discord and let's see what kind of feedback we get from people on the Discord. And if it's okay with them, we'll share it on the next episode. What do you think, Tony?
Oh my gosh, we have Discord. People can actually have questions and comments. Your next thing you're suggesting is they could actually suggest stories for us.
You know what? I'm going to pin that right there, and I'll tell you how they can do it after your notables.
Well, let's jump right into the notables. And in my first notable mention, straight from bleepingcomputer.com, WhatsApp fined 5.5 million euros by Irish DPC for GDPR violations. The Irish Data Protection Commission, the DPC, has fined WhatsApp Ireland 5.95 million US after confirming the messaging service violated the General Protection Regulation, GDPR. This violates Article 7, Recital 32 of the GDPR, which requires that user consent must be given freely and on specific, uninformed, and unambiguous basis without pressure, influence, or elements that introduce imbalance in the data subject's decision. The authority has ordered WhatsApp to bring its data processing operations into compliance within 6 months, or it faces a new fine. And in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, T-Mobile has been hacked, revealing the data of 37 million accounts in an API data breach. T-Mobile disclosed a new data breach after a threat actor stole the personal information of 37 million current postpaid and prepaid customer accounts through one of its application programming interfaces, an API. While T-Mobile did not share how their API was exploited, threat actors commonly find flaws that allow them to retrieve data without authentication. T-Mobile revealed on Thursday that the attacker started stealing data using the impacted API around November 25th, 2022, and the mobile carrier detected malicious activity January 5th, 2023, and cut off the attacker's access to the API 1 day later.
In my first notable mention, Spotify to cut 6% of the workforce, latest in big tech's layoffs, written by Joan E. Salzman for CNET. Spotify, the audio streaming platform, has just joined the list of tech companies that are cutting costs. Spotify CEO Daniel Ek said in a note to employees that the last few months have been a challenge to rein in costs, and their effort just isn't enough to keep an estimated 400 employees in their jobs. During the pandemic, people tended to not listen to music while they were stuck at home. Despite this trend, Spotify still remains the biggest music streaming service and has continued to grow. As of the end of 2022, Spotify has more than 200 million subscribers. The company is offering affected employees about 5 months of severance pay and health care, in addition to career counseling services. In my second notable mention, Microsoft boosts OpenAI with multi-billion dollar investment, written by Zachary McAuliffe for CNET.com. Microsoft announced that it has extended its partnership with OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT and DALL-E. According to the tech giant, it will increase its investments in the development and deployment of supercomputing systems to support OpenAI's research. Microsoft began working with OpenAI in 2016, and in 2019, Microsoft invested $1 billion in OpenAI's research to develop new supercomputing tech. Microsoft and OpenAI did not disclose specific financial terms of the partnership. In our feedback from the YouTubes, Jason Morales says, "Hold every vendor accountable." I agree with you 100%, brother. And some more feedback on the YouTubes from MadData.io. "I honestly enjoy watching this weekly. I learn something new every time. Don't stop with the breach updates. Personally, I appreciate when you two share your knowledge and experience with executive matters and the belief system behind them." Well, thank you very much. That's definitely awesome feedback. Let's continue the conversation. Bottom right, you'll now see we have QR codes to join our Discord. And let's continue talking about it during the week. We want to hear more.
And jumping into our community events, there are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community. So let's see what's happening this week. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, January 25th, an in-person event, Schnizfest, in Phoenix, Arizona. On January 27th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, January Channel Pitch presented by The Channel Program. And January 26th through the 28th, an in-person event, Q1 Producers Club Meeting, San Diego, California. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have the MSP Dispatch, every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. On January 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern, join Tim Golden of Compliance Risk in our next Partner First webinar, How to Implement a Cybersecurity Policy Process. And finally, on February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar opens its doors again for episode 51 featuring Tom Lawrence of Lawrence Systems.
Hey friends, Wes Spencer here. I wanted to invite you to a really amazing workshop, boot camp, you might even call it. Here's some of the things we're going to cover in this course. Some amazing things like why the cyber insurance market is just changing like crazy. We're going to talk about the things you've got to know as an MSP to be successful at this. Not just helping your clients through it, but building new revenue. So we're going to cover about how you can actually enhance this in your QBR processes along with samples and examples. We're going to actually role play with you. This is February 8th and 9th. Our registrations are getting full. Register. We want to see you there. It's only $699 to join in. Can't wait to see you. Make sure you register as soon as possible. Thanks.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP Network. Tony, we didn't get our HoloLenses because Congress said no. But otherwise, I think it was a pretty good episode. What do you think, man?
I think it's good, but we clearly found the source monkey to their spending problem. I'm just going to call that out. The source monkey, the outbreak monkey. Yeah. The outbreak, everyone's like, all the youngins are like, outbreak monkey, what's that? It's from a movie called Outbreak. And never mind. The point is,
I'm Amazon account, and I'm the source of the problem. Yeah. or as Taylor Swift or us Swifties would say, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. So I think that's the. Oh, who doesn't love Taylor Swift? All right. On that note, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Perfect. What are we doing?
We're taking notes and dictating the health of the IT services industry.
Let me see.
That's not the kind of news we follow here on Dispatch. We follow channel news. What do you say we get into it?
Dude, let's get into the news.
Had to do the signature Tony fist bump there for get into the news.
Well, that's important part. You know, faith, staying calm and being in control of your emotions. That means everything, right, Ray?
You got to have faith.
That was a lead into your story, dude.
You got to have faith stuck in my head, playing and repeat now. And
come.
You got to have.
Oh, what?
Good Lord. All right. In less embarrassing news, Tony, I consider you a very high EQ person.
EQ?
Emotional quotient?
Damn it. I thought it was IQ, but then the irony is I proved the point that I wasn't in the high IQ section. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was so happy. And then I
completely firebombed my
purpose. Okay. Go.
All right.
The violation. Hold on. And on my next notable mention, from bleepingcomputer.com, T-Mobile hacked to steal data. Oh, I'm going to read this. Has been.
An additional feedback from MadData.io, awesome name on YouTube, says, I honestly wish. Blah, 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 blah.